Welcome back to our video lectures on the economical thought of Antonio Rosmini. And now in this fifth and last video lecture, now we will consider some last aspects and try to come to certain conclusions, also to certain conclusions about not only the interpretation of Hoebel on the philosophy of right on Rosmini, but also another recent interpretation of this work. Now, let's go on with a certain order. In the last two video lectures, we have considered not only the roots of the ordoliberalists and some elements in common with the Rosminian idea of economics, but also the ambiguous position that Hegel assumes in this theoretical context. The interpretation of ethical life in reference to Hegel is not only clarificatory, but also dangerous. Indeed, it has to be underlined that the reference is only at the beginning of the philosophy of right, where Hegel affirms not against Kant, but in order to fulfill his theoretical novelties, the necessary social dimension of liberty and its guarantee by social institutions. This concerns the necessary social dimension of liberty, and this dimension realizes a social moment of liberty, which is not a statual one, but it is one requested by liberty itself. We can retain that the social dimension of the social market economy is to be understood in this way, and in this way the beginning of the philosophy of right of Hegel can be read in a very positive way. Liberty requires itself, in the continental tradition, recognition, and this recognition focuses on the other. Relationships, and therefore minimal social relationships like society, and for others also family or religion, are constitutive for the realization of human liberty and dignity. They make sure that the social structure of liberty, of liberal society, is not only determined by concurrence, this is the concept of classical liberalism, is not only determined by cooperation, this is the concept of other liberalism, and it is not only determined by non-interference, this is the concept of libertarianism, but also by solidarity. And here we have also the little difference between social market economy and other liberalism. This solidarity does not risk the liberal ground intention, only it does not risk it only if it is affirmed on the individual basis and not as a political issue. And this is the difficult point of social market economy. This is the difficult point of a relationship also to certain thinkers. And for this difficult point, which is today also in discussion and which is also different from conceptions of welfare state and others, we have to be very carefully, and I think Rosmini can give us a good lecture to be very exactly in this point. According to the fundamental principles of liberalism, this solidarity cannot be imposed against the individual freedom. It has to derive from the fact of liberty itself. Only in this way it is founded in the principle of liberty. Only in this way it is compatible with a liberal approach. Otherwise, not. Already the perspective of individual basic rights and liberties offers such a dimension, because one must consider that the right and guarantee of life as the fundament of every subject for possessing anything and for pursuing his happiness includes one's physical subsistence. This dimension, indeed, is fundamentally common to Rosmini and the thinkers of social market economy. We read in Röpke, "Who retains society as a mere association of individuals, which can be thought with the logical reason of the individual, is brought inevitably to the consequence that first, nothing can be tolerated in a society which is not the object of the clear conscience of the individual, Nothing which is the unplanned and unconscious result of enumerated singular acts as the price of steel or the interest on capital. And second, that human reason is enough not only to catch society as a whole and the economy, but also to conduct it according to a conscious plan in its entirety. With this last consequence, something curious has occurred in individualism, which is found in line with liberalism. Liberalism has eliminated itself and has become collectivism, which is still in the name of reason and the individual, but truthfully under the perversion of all the authentic and original ideals of liberalism. So we have in the social market economy conception not only the exigency that every social dimension, that every dimension of solidarity realized in society has to be founded in the individual rights approach, but also the consideration that without a minimal juridical affirmation of the dimension of solidarity, the liberal approach itself, the individualistic approach itself of liberty, would end in a certain anatomy, in a certain paradox. The society as relationship of individuals, which is constitutive for individual liberty and therefore are important, the institutions which are realizations of liberty in order to promote the development of the relation relational dimensions of liberty. For Rosmini, the foundation is not placed in the state, but in the individual, also if in the last analysis in the supernatural dimension of liberty, which is represented in church. And therefore church in Rosmini has an institutional dimension and an institutional importance. Because thanks to the theocratic society, we have a over-individual foundation of liberty, which is not contradictory to the individual dimension itself. We have a foundation of relationship which is not in concurrence to the methodological individualism itself. This makes sure that relational status of liberty between all the individuals and human mankind is fundamentally affirmed. And so theocratic society in Rosmini is only partially realized in church. Church is only a visible dimension of it. In its invisible and ontological dimension, all human mankind has a fundamental social structure, said Rosmini. So in its natural constitution, personhood is not individualistically reduced. In its natural constitution, human nature is relational. Human nature is relational because in the supernatural vision, all human beings are sons and daughters of the divine creator. So the theocratic society gives us a notion, but this notion is not a religious credo, it is not a religious affirmation, but it's the affirmation of the fundamental solidaristic structure of human being in itself, of the fundamental solidaristic structure of liberty itself. It's a part of the ontology of liberty itself. So this is the very important dimension of theocratic society in Rosmini, and for Rosmini this social structure of liberty is affirmed in the beginning, in the first paragraphs, when Rosmini explains the theocratic society in his social right. In comparison to libertarianism, becomes now clear how Rosmini does not present individualistic, a patrimonialistic conception of society, as it was also often attributed to him. Indeed, he thinks the constitutional dimension only as a constitutional law state, but he does not exclude the representative dimension of personhood. Personhood has its individual dimension, has its social relation, and this structure of individual liberty is able to be represented in a constitutional way. Rusmini founds on this idea of liberty his idea of constitutional state. In this constitutional state, we have in Rusmini, without any doubt, right of vote, a suffrage, which is only for people who have individual property. The indigents, people who don't have individual property, cannot contribute democratically to the political sphere. But this does not mean that Rusmini has a patrimonialistic structure, and that in this patrimonialistic structure, Rusmini would be similar, would be close to a libertarian conception, as we see in the opinion of Freeman, who comparized the libertarianism also in a certain sense with feudalistic structures. We have in Rusmini the representation more in a juridical way, not such in a direct democratical way. And this juridical representation we have in the Political Tribune. The Political Tribune, without any doubt, is also considered in the book of Hoebel, but not in this fundamental sense, that a fundamental representation of person, of individual personship, we have in the Political Tribune. And the Political Tribune is voted by all. We have a universal suffrage on this political tribune. But now we cannot go very much in a deeper analysis of this concept, but we can consider also for actual dimension that a fundamental representative dimension we have also in the juridical conception of Rusmini. And we see that we have not a direct foundation of the democratic principle in Rusmini, but the democratic principle is represented in the juridical dimension. So Rusmini resolves things in the juridical dimension, many aspects, which then in the following decades and in the following centuries, we can say, was then declined with the principles of democracy and with the principles of solidarity. But Rusmini has this fundamental representation not only in the juridical sense of the Political Tribune, in this sense in which Hoebel sees rightly something in Rusmini, but this we have also in the institution of church. The institution of church is not only an institution of private faith, of private benevolency, and of charity. Church has its juridical structure, its institution, it's a social institution in the thinking of Rusmini about society and about the social realities. We cannot negate this fact. In Hoebel, we have a consideration of the church in the very actual sense in which church in liberal societies is co-located today. But we have not a very institutional consideration of the theocratical society in Rusmini. Benevolence is not only led to the liberty of the rich, it is not only in a certain sense a moral appeal to the rich, it is not only a moral predicate with the church does in confront to the rich, it is also institutionalized in the church's activity. Often we forget that church is the first and the most important particular society in Rosmini's philosophy of right. Whoever reads this book, also The Social Right, if we said in the first video lecture, in a moral point of view, in our actual point of view, aiming at the consideration of the civil society and leaving nearly beside the considerations of the other two societies, which for the comprehension of Rosmini's concept of right are almost more important. Therefore, it is an error in Husserl's reading when he affirms that Rosmini interprets the social role of the church only as a moral and spiritual influence. And again, Husserl says, it is reflected in his great work Delle Cinque Piaghe della Santa Chiesa. According to Rosmini, Christianity and the church should not act directly as factors of power in the political and social scene, but indirectly through the spiritual, moral and cultural transformation. It is right that church does not act directly in civil society, but it is subsidiarily in a relationship of subsidiarity with the civil society, or better said, vice versa. Civil society is in a subsidiarity relationship to the other two types of society. And we don't have to forget this important factor. So we cannot read the church, the theocratical society in Rosmini, only in a moral or spiritual way. We have to read it in an institutional way. According to Husserl, beneficence can be realized for Rosmini only by indirect influence of the ecclesiastical society as a love communion. And Husserl said, if beneficence is not something of a state nature, but a right of the heart which cannot be usurped or imposed, either by external law or by force, it is therefore by nature an eminently ecclesial thing. And this, without any doubt, it is right, it is highly right. Yet the solution to this great problem must be sought in Jesus Christ. He has instituted the church and charged her to succor all human misery. Also, this is right, but it's only right to the half, because on the other half, the church remains a social reality, and not only a social reality, but a socially instituted reality. And so the institutional point of view, which we considered not very much present in Husserl's lecture of Rosmini's thought, here becomes indeed very important, because the relationships between the three societies, we can only think of institutional relationships. And these institutional relationships are not institutional relationships as we think today about civil society, of church, of family, as non-political actors. For Rosmini, they are also, in a certain way, political actors, but in a horizontal, subsidiary way. All the three societies, as different spheres of justice, constitute together the social sphere. And so we have a sphere of civil society, but also the other spheres are juridically regulated, and as juridically regulated, they are institutions. Again, it becomes clear that every reading of Rosmini in a nowadays perspective risks to reduce it to what we today intend with civil society. For Rosmini, the situation was much more complex, and many dimensions he attributed to the church has to be read as considerations which today we have to evolve in order to civil society, in order to that what we today call state. The indigence in Rosmini, in Husserl's perspective, would not be politically represented. But indeed, this is not true. Even if Rosmini does not think about universal suffrage and institutions for social redistribution, it does not seem to be a right interpretation not to consider the indigence as represented in the public sphere. To understand this better, we have to consider that for Rosmini, in a quite traditional way, all benevolence is separated from the state. And also, this can be today a critical point of view in the actual crisis also of welfare state, of social state. But this would be the theme of another video lectures. And let's quote only Rosmini's reasoning. Rosmini says, when we sacrifice the smallest good that is ours by right for the sake of someone else, we act benevolently. We are not bound under any dual obligation to make this sacrifice, either to spare the other person from the greatest possible evil or to produce for him the greatest possible good. Under the moral law of mutual benevolence, this is nevertheless an obligation to do this. There is always damage to right, always some violation of the moral dual law when we force others, as a matter of fact, to make some sacrifice for us or to cause harm to third parties. This is a long quotation, which now we cannot quote in all in all the extension. But Rosmini here said that in the civil society, the right of property is the right of property. But there is also the aspect of benevolence, the aspect of which is not only led to an individual moral point of view, because it is led to the to the social institutionalization in a subsidiary way outside the mere political juridical order in the church. But the church is outside civil society, but not outside the order in itself. And so in a nowadays perspective, we have to see or to consider that the dimension of social solidarity has to be considered. So Rosmini has the idea also of principles of social state. But the principles of social state cannot be in concurrence and cannot be in contradiction to the foundation of individual right. So we have to bring them together. But the classical liberalism or libertarianism is unable to bring them together. Rosmini brings them together in his context, which is also the Italian context of the beginning of the 19th century, which is more the Catholic context. Ordo liberalism and social market economy bring them together in another way. Bring them together in a way which is in a certain sense the 20th century form of doing it. So we have two conceptions for Rosmini, social market economy, which have the same fundamental intuitions. And these same fundamental intuitions are declined in one sense in a Catholic institutional way, in which church has a function also in public right, and institutes in public right a sort of horizontal subsidiarity. This in a Protestant way, where we don't have this horizontal subsidiarity between church and state, and in which all this dimension of solidarity is integrated in the idea of the relationship of state and individual with the respect of the individual rights of person is declined in another way. But it is always a liberal way to consider the foundation of the solidarian aspect in the idea of public order. So we want to quote another German thinker, who has pointed out rightly this aspect, how to find in the sense of social market economy now the solidaristic aspect in a framework of, on the basis, in the principles of a liberal order. And he said, why the Homo sapiens acquires moral significance only by the attribution of human rights. Our concept of personality is the basic concept of our moral cultural grammar of our self-comprehension and therefore is considered a priori with normative significance. So what for Rosmini is the realization of human being, not only in civil society, but before in theocratic society and in domestic society. Now, in this aspect, in the more Protestant declination of the realization of human nature, which is, as we see, more individualistic, is the cultural grammar of our self-comprehension. Therefore, there is a great difference not only in the quantity but also in the quality between the guarantee of biological continuity and of existence on the one hand and the giving of material presuppositions to a personal and liberal conduct of life on the other. The first is to guarantee that people live and continue to exist. The latter requires a guarantee of minimum of personal liberty in which people are in need to be able to act and to conduct the life of a person. Regarding these two dimensions, the first as the social state consequence of classical liberalism, the latter as the ordo-liberal and social market model, we find individuated two aspects of the social state which cannot be justified only from a liberal point of view and which are in are therefore rejected, and we have to reject it from a liberal point of view without any doubt, a guarantee of democracy in a Rousseauian tradition, or also a foundation of welfare state, which is not in continuity and which does not respect individual liberty and the dignity of individual person, which, as we also have seen in Rosmini, are founded in the relationship between individual personality and the relationship to the things, and so in the principle which Rosmini called the derivation of rights. So we have here two concepts which have surprisingly, which have in common some fundamental reasonings which complete, in a certain sense, the liberal tradition, because they are not present in classical liberalism or in libertarianism, but without becoming a conception of civil economy. And it could now seem strange that Carlos Hövel tries to interpret the economical conception of Rosmini in the tradition of civil economy, pointing out a presumptive cooperative character of the economical thought of Antonio Rosmini. This cooperative character, we haven't seen it in no dimension which we analyzed in our video lectures. Hövel said, in fact, Rosmini has in mind societies such as those civil associations of mutual assistance of the medieval communes, which are against the non-civil power of the seigneur. Their spirit was fundamentally a corporate, non-individualistic spirit, to the point that their struggles, they presented themselves as a compact team, frequently violent against the old nobility. Then he proceeds, always Hövel. Through these unions, the associations establish a series of common rights with the aim of defending and potentializing them much better than if they were to exercise them separately. In this sense, Rosmini is not thinking of civil society in the liberal French fashion. This is without any doubt true. That is, as the product of a state that erupts into the civitas or the medieval commune in order to create rights and freedoms. We see here always the interpretation of Rosmini inserting them in a tradition, the medieval Rinascimental civil economy tradition. I see Rosmini very, very much as a predecessor, as an anticipator, as a prophet of fundamental intuitions of ordoliberalism and social market economy. The civil society would be, says Hövel, an association of associations. So we have not the liberal aspect of civil society, which means that civil society is many individuals together on the basis of individual rights, not associations of associations. Therefore, it is not interpreted as the convergence of individual wills and therefore on the basis of individual rights, but as the association of associations. And these would be, as Hövel expressly says, the families. Now, I retain that here lies a fundamental misunderstanding in the interpretation of the social thought of Antonio Rosmini. Indeed, Rosmini says that the society is the convergence of families. But in society, does not rule the family's relationship, but the social relationships, which is artificial and not natural. Rosmini says, yeah, we have in the society together the association of families. But which rule rules in society? It does not rule the rule of family. It rules the rule of person. Because the rule of family, says Rosmini, is always the rule of family egoism. It is always a rule of a solidarity which is confined in the interior dimension of family. If we have a society as an association of families, we won't have in any time a real common good, but because families are thinking for their own good. And this was Winnie's seed very well. And he seeded also for political parties and other institutions. So the real common good we have only on the basis of the recognition of individual fundamental rights. If Rosmini himself distinguishes a natural association from an artificial one, how can we directly affirm a fundamental identity between both? It seems that Rosmini wanted to stress the divergency, not the comparability of family and civil society. No, I said domestic and theocratical society as moral institutions, as a moral expression of human person, of the nature of the dimension of perfection of human person. No? But civil society is subsidiarily the affirmation of individual rights. Therefore, Hövel comes closer to Rosmini's intention if he sees the social associations as little realizations of civil society. Yes, we can see all the social associations as little realizations of civil societies, so that also all social associations, the firms, the companies, but also political parties, but also spontaneous associations, have to respect always individuals, have to respect always individual rights. They cannot establish a common good which would harm individual rights, but not so the associations as little civil societies, but not the civil society as association of associations. And indeed, for Rosmini, it seems civil society formulates the rule which all private associations should rule, but these rules are based on the idea that common good is related to individual right and not vice versa. For Rosmini, it is unthinkable that in the name of common good, individual rights could be neglected. Only for the latter ones, not for the first one, is it possible to appeal to the political tribune. And so for the universal representative dimension of person in society. So we have not a personalization of society, but we have the universal respect of person in society through political tribune. Significantly, Hövel does not prove much these considerations, his considerations which we now criticized, with quotations from Rosmini's text, and in the unique quotation in these pages, in the footnote 18 on page 220, Rosmini affirms quite the opposite of what Hövel affirms. Here Rosmini indeed defines the state as a union of families, but under the condition that the rights of every individual and of every family are protected and regulated, and that these rights have to be exercised without collisions. Now, perhaps Hövel sees in this affirmation on the fundamental importance of family an indication for cooperative structures. But we don't have to forget that Rosmini, beyond his great consideration of family for its private relationships in contrariety to the political relationships in civil society, also warns of the egoism which these private structures can produce. Every private structure has this vice, from families to political parties. And Rosmini recurs to the universal principle of personhood as unique remedial for the danger of these egoisms which nourish the common good, which is not the common good of the family or the state, but of the whole mankind. Only a common good of the whole mankind is a real common good, says Rosmini. This consideration, taken by Hövel to prove definitively the civil economic character of Rosmini's thought, in reality affirms another time the centrality of individual personhood and the closeness to the conception of order liberalism. This dimension is even clearly stated by Hövel when he says, "Therefore, to the Roveretian, it is necessary that national societies and economies should be regulated in some way by a universal society." This is what Hövel says, but this affirmation remains without any critical consideration. This would be a consideration which associated Rosmini more to the other liberalists and not to the civil economy tradition. Hövel indeed affirms, "Rosmini agrees with the Italian civil economist philosophers who, as from Vico and Doria, consider that economic interests do not self-regulate, but the mere invisible hand of the market, but that they require regulation by civil society." This affirmation, in its contents, without any doubt, is a just interpretation of Rosmini's thought, but it doesn't prove the appartenance of civil economy approaches, but as we have seen, it is also a central argument of social market economy. This becomes even more clear when Hövel affirms immediately, "In effect, according to Rosmini, the way to achieve larger production and a fairer distribution of wealth is certainly that of a market where the interchange between individual interests play a leading role, although always within the rules of ethics and the law." What Hövel retains an argument for civil economy is in reality the proof of Rosmini's liberalism as anticipator of the order liberal concept. And if he claims then that ethical individual virtues better than social virtues would be better than social virtues, this argument would be even openly against civil economy model, as Hövel himself recognizes. The distinction which in our consideration we required now against Hövel, the distinction between the moral perspective and the liberal perspective, so between the moral and the juridical sphere, and which Hövel overcame in the reduction of the constitutional sphere to the morality of concrete economic action, therefore his anti-program to the libertarian conception, was superated also by the interpretation of the philosophy of right by Francesco Petrillo. We see that in the economist Hövel tends to a moralization, and the jurist Petrillo aims to a juridicalization of Rosmini's philosophy of right. So we have the last two great interpretations of this central work of Antonio Rosmini, the last two books on this work, present two significant reductionisms of the idea of right in Antonio Rosmini. We have always the reduction of the distinction, of the precise distinction, of the moral foundation and of the juridical institutions. Hövel reduces them to the moral aspect. Petrillo reduces them to the institutional aspect of liberty without considering anymore the relationship of the juridical institutions to the moral dimension, of personhood, which in Rosmini, without any doubt, is present. We stated against Hövel that only after the moral definition of right, the juridical science begins with the definition of juridical duty, which is the respect for the moral liberty which is expressed in the right. But for Petrillo now, the last element of the definition of right is itself the juridical duty which is cognitively determinable on the basis of the cognoscibility of liberty. This identification is therefore the opposite identification respect to Hövel. So Petrillo reduces all the juridical dimension, the institutional dimension, on the dimension that we have a cognitive aspect of liberty. So reduced to the cognitive aspect, and in this reduction to the cognitive aspect, we lose the moral dimension of person. But we have seen before that the structure of recognition, the fundamental structure of recognition, which is the founding of liberty and so of individual rights in Rosmini, it is not merely cognitive. It is recognitive. It is moral. It is respect. It is the practical recognition. And so we cannot, with Petrillo, reduce all the sphere of liberty to its cognitive aspect, to its juridical aspect. In this dimension, Hövel would be right against Petrillo, also if before Petrillo was right against Hövel. No? We have in Rosmini the distinction but not the separation between the moral dimension of person, the recognitive structure of liberty of person, and the institutionalization of liberty in the concrete institutions of the philosophy of right. Rosmini does not admit any of these identifications. And Rosmini says, all jural duties are indeed moral, but not all moral duties are jural. Jural duties have as their object the need to respect, that is, not to remove or harm some activity proper to another person. Therefore, it does not seem correct to affirm that it is not only morality, or better, it is probably not morality, which founds the recognition of rights. This is a sentence of Petrillo. It is not morality which founds recognition of rights. No, it is morality which found recognition of rights, but it is not reducible to morality. And Petrillo then says, but it would be rather the conscience understood as cognition. Here we have the reduction, no, to the mere cognitive dimension of liberty in Petrillo. Rosmini does not reduce the right to the moral action, nor he assigns only to the right the recognitive structure of interpersonal relationship. The liberal perspective of Rosmini affirms itself in the middle of both. And here we have the right middle, not the middle, the moral middle affirmed by Hövel, no? Not the middle in the result, no? The middle in the principles, the middle in the principles, which is the distinction, but not the separation between liberty and moral recognition. It is not morality and therefore a sort of non-cognitivistic affirmation of individual liberty, and it is not the cognitivistic affirmation of liberty which would destroy individual autonomy and give to the state a cognitive dimension which was rightly negated by Hayek. In this aspect, Rosmini would be underline this affirmation of Hayek. Rosmini's liberalism is anti-perfectivistic in both matters, morally as well as socially, without negating the importance neither of the moral dimension nor of the social one. This is the specific affirmation of human dignity by Rosmini, which recurs only in the ordo-liberal tradition. So we have another proof that Rosmini is a very prophet, a very anticipator of the ordo-liberal tradition. This means properly a Rosminian argument for not considering any more this concept, the concept also of ordo-liberalism, of social market economy, not only a German model. This interpretation that we find in Rosmini a real anticipator of this model shows us that it is also an error to consider this model as globally it is considered a mere German model, but to propose its principles as possible remedies against the actual crisis. The Rosmini reading of ordo-liberalism and social market economy can have also this positive output, to see in this model not only a national or a regionally limited conception, but a real universal conception based on rethinking on a new foundation, on a new declination of what liberty is, on a new moral and juridical consideration of liberty, to rethink our concrete social structures in the actual crisis. And with these considerations, I thank you very much for your attention and for having listened to all these five video lectures about the economical thought of Antonio Rosmini. Thank you very much again, and till the next time.